wrong verse. It's not Galatians 5, verse 5, but Galatians 5, verse 10. Let's go ahead and read that. Galatians 5, verse 10. Verse 9, it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. This is why in the church life in Zion, we must have such a consciousness in the heavenly Jerusalem that the church is not anything earthly. It is not of this creation, as Hebrews tells us, and it is also not made by man's hands. We all have dirty human hands. The church is holy, and the Lord wants a holy and a glorious church. And with us, if we do not build the church through Christ, and it is not Christ in us who builds, then we won't make it. It is impossible. This is why in the past 2,000 years, we just see a confusion, a mixture, division among the people of God. Everyone is doing whatever he wants to do. Everyone has his own opinion and is going his own way. And in the end, where is God's dwelling place to be found? Where is Zion? Where is the heavenly Jerusalem? If we had paid attention earlier to see what Isaiah chapter 8 said, he is the real tabernacle. Oh, in Hebrews chapter 8, only the Lord can build the real tabernacle. Isaiah. Oh yeah, he said Isaiah instead of Hebrews, but he meant Hebrews. My head is full of Isaiah. Of course, it's Hebrews chapter 8. And today I thank the Lord that he is showing it to us. And I believe that it is in the hearts of many of the believers, many of the saints. We also have the fear of the Lord not to touch the church with our own hands. We like to judge according to our own judgment. If the scripture says the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to his Son, consider, who are we then to judge ourselves? And not to allow to come and give everything to the Lord and let him judge. Otherwise, in the end, we will judge according to our own eyes. And it's written there in Isaiah chapter 11 that the Lord does not judge according to his own eyes. Because our eyes only see the outward, not the inward. Even if man says the right thing with the mouth, but in the heart they might mean something completely different. That means even if they have the appearance to speak the truth with their mouth, it is still a lie, because the purpose or the intent of this truth is different. And how can you see it? How can you penetrate and see through? So, if the Lord, as the servant of God, who was sent by God, who came as a man and lived on this earth, he did not trust in himself, but only in the Father. How much more we must learn this today and experience this by the same Spirit. And as our brother read from 1 Peter chapter 2, the Lord did not judge, but committed it to him who judges righteously. So in the end, only he can judge. On the other hand, however, we have to discern, be able to discern. That does not mean that we don't have to discern what is right and what is wrong. No. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us we have to be exercised in the word of truth and righteousness. Then we will also be able to discern. Only children cannot discern. But if we reach maturity in the Spirit, then we must be able to discern and to judge righteously. This is why Paul, even though he wasn't in Corinth, he already said, I judged this sinful brother there, and I threw him out.
Und so, ja, wir brauchen diesen wunderbaren
We
Herrn.
Need this wonderful Lord.
Eins mit ihm zu sein.
We need to be one with him.
Heute sind die Menschen,
Today,
Leute,
man
betonen die Einheit,
and many, some people emphasize the oneness, but the question is, who do we have this oneness with? With whom should we have this oneness? I treasure the oneness, but not oneness only with man, but oneness, the first priority, in the first line with the triune God, the wonderful, glorious God. And it's a oneness in John chapter 17, one with the Father in him, and he in the Father. It is this oneness that the Lord wants to lead us into today. Oneness with man is not trustworthy, not reliable. Today I'm right, tomorrow I might not. Maybe this year is really good, but next year no. It's not.
So, alle Katholiken sind eins mit dem Papst.
All the Catholics are one with the Pope. They're very obedient. Or, if you are a Catholic, you have to be one with the Pope. And if you want to keep such a oneness, then you have to believe the Pope that he is infallible and that he's always right. But who is infallible? He's probably more fallible than or just as fallible as the other Catholics. Don't you think we can carry that over to us? Many men claim that they are something, but the scripture says we are nothing. We are unprofitable servants. Didn't the Lord say, apart from me, you can do nothing? So we continue to read here. As long as we still have leaven in us, we will still have problems. That's why we have the feast of the unleavened bread. We all need to purge out the leaven. And who dares to say in the church that he doesn't have any leaven? Then, who will ignore or despise the feast of the unleavened bread? Who dares to say that? And who judges men who want to keep this feast? May the Lord have mercy on us. Verse 10, it says, I have confidence in you, in the Lord. Praise the Lord, our confidence is in the Lord. That you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Oh, sorry. He who troubles you, the Lord will forgive him, and it doesn't matter, especially if he's an elder. Is that what it says there in Galatians? Is it written in that way? He says, he who troubles, whoever it is, whether it's the Pope or the Cardinal or the Bishop, or whoever it may be, it does not matter. It does not matter. With God, there is no partiality of man, and we have to understand that. There is no partiality of man.
No respect.
No respect of persons. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment. Bear judgment from whom? Judgment from man is not worth anything. Don't fear man's judgment, but God's judgment. Did not the Lord show us and teach us whom we should fear? Yes, we respect all men. We do respect men, not just the elders, but all the saints. Not just the co-workers, but a brother or a sister in the church. They are just as precious. Even in the eyes of the Lord, they're even more precious. But Lord, once we are not in the Spirit, even though we speak Spirit, 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 but the Lord said, you will recognize the tree by its fruit. I cannot see into your heart. I cannot see it. I have no X-ray vision. Fortunately. I do not want to look into every heart. That would be horrible. In the end, I'll have a heart attack. But God's judgment, he's the one whom we should fear. And today we live in a time where the coming of the Lord is very near. Everyone is happy. Lord, yes, come quickly. But if we knew what came, what would come with his coming, we would rather say, Lord, not so quickly. Not in my time. As Hezekiah said. Hezekiah. In the U.S., I never read the German Bible. Hezekiah. Because the coming of the Lord's return is near. Also, he spoke to us again in Isaiah about judgment. Not to scare us, but to bring us into the consciousness to prepare us for his return. Didn't Peter say, since the day is near, what did he say? See to it. What kind of a life you lead today in all holiness and godliness. It's not a warning that we would be scared or be afraid, but it's a warning to help us to conduct a life that is well-pleasing to Him, that qualifies us to enter into the glory and to reign with Him and to partake of His kingdom, right? And if not, if we don't make it, then there'll be gnashing of teeth and wailing. Or what would you like? Rather, do not believe on judgment, then there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we now have the chance to be fully prepared and fully reconciled to God, that when the Lord comes, He will take you. And we will be glorified with Him, as Colossians tells us. So judgment is not to make us fearful, but to wake us up, to encourage us, to help us, to heal us. And if the Lord is judging me and judging you today, that is a grace. That is grace to us. This was what we read yesterday. The persecution. You're bitter that you're thrown out. You have to say, Lord, hallelujah. This is a real judgment. But the blame is not on us, but on the others. But for us, it is a judgment of God to bring us to the goal and to that we could reach the glory, bring us into glory. If I tell you this, it's not a teaching to you. Believe me. By the grace of the Lord, we have often been judged. We have been cut off, put into isolation, warned. Saints are fearful to have fellowship with us. They don't even want to shake my hand so that they won't be... it's not contagious. They won't catch the leprosy. They don't want to have any contact with a leper. But praise the Lord. It's nice and good. You see a leper here. Praise the Lord. Can we not be joyful? I have to thank them all. It is better that somebody speaks bad about you than good about you and praise you. If someone praises you, you better quickly run away. Learn from the Lord. When the people wanted to lift him up as the king and crown him, did he say, finally, they recognize that I really am the king? Is that what he said? What did he do? Suddenly, he disappeared. We have to learn how to disappear and learn how to do this step. If you turn to your spirit, then you will disappear and you're not there anymore and you are nothing. And when the enemy comes and wants to give you a high position in the church, then you have to quickly disappear. And you're gone, vaporized. You disappeared in the air, and you don't know where you are anymore. And when men come to praise you, begin to praise you, you also have to snap and disappear. You have to learn this. But if men persecute you and say all kinds of evil things and do evil things to you, then don't run away, but receive it. And tell them, go on. Oh, blessed am I. Is that not good? Is that your concept? Or will you become bitter and angry and react? They put you down and you do it 10 times stronger back to them. If we do this, then there is no glory. When they rebuke you, you rebuke them 10 times over. Don't forget, the reward is the kingdom. Thank you. Oh, when they revile you, you revile them 10 times. So when they trouble you and do not speak the truth, they're unrighteous, then it is not good. So even when they mislead the saints because they don't like something, just because they don't like something doesn't mean that it's not scriptural. It's what God wants. And it's even worse if God wants to do something and then you go against him. And then he will judge, bear the judgment, whoever it may be. Every single word has a wonderful meaning. That means in the eyes of God, no one is anyone, is anything. You may be lifted up in high regard by men, but in the eyes of God, in the eyes of the Lord, we are nothing. No one is anything.
Amen.
And I, verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? So let us not say anything against circumcision, otherwise you'll be persecuted. But the truth is the truth. Even if people don't want to hear this, what are you going to do? Do you only speak what they like to hear? Why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased, and that would be terrible. The cross and everything the Lord wants it bugs religion. It bothers religion and the flesh. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Praise the Lord. Should we continue with the verses from yesterday or not? Maybe it's better if we come to the outline, otherwise we won't get done. We won't finish our outline in this conference. It is still about Christ and his kingdom in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Although in this book, Isaiah exposed so much, first in the first section about concerning the people of Israel, how terrible it was. Remember, the judgment always begins with us. As in Revelation, the judgment of the world just begins in chapter 4 and 5. from the throne. The Lord ascended and opened this little book for the administration of the universe. He received it, he got it, and he opened it up and opened the seal in chapter 6, and then it started. But in chapters 1 through 3, it applies to us. The judgment begins, always begins in the house of the Lord, because if the Lord does not bring us into order, how can he bring the world into order? Can you imagine that? If everything is allowed in his own house, and when today in the church you don't correct the young people and you tell them, oh, no pressure, let them have the liberty and do whatever they want. Then someone gave a message somewhere in Luke chapter 15 about the lost son, the prodigal son, that the emphasis is not on the son who missed the parties, on the first son. Can you imagine that? Then in the church, every Saturday night, we should have a party. And no one says anything, and no one will correct this. We just let everything go. Anybody can say anything he wants. Is that the church, the house of the living God? That means no one is heeding God anymore. You can say anything, it doesn't matter what, as if God does not hear it. As Isaiah said, God doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't see. He doesn't hear. There are people who have eyes and don't see, and have ears and don't hear. Do you think our God is the same? Surely not. Certainly not. This is why today we must go on to know this wonderful, living, righteous God and how he really is, and not according to our own concept. And this is what we need the scriptures for.
So,
chapters 1 through 12, the first part, God concerns himself about the judgment of his own people. He doesn't want to despise them, but he's doing his best to save them. But in the end, we saw in Bad Kissingen, there was only a very small remnant that remained. Because most didn't want to. The most did not have an ear. Most of them did not have an ear to hear. They did not want to hear God. God did everything and said everything. Now it's gone. You see? Even the battery goes out. When our inner man If the inner man is not renewed continually, the battery will run out. The inner battery will run out. That means we always must be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Acts showed us, always and over they were renewed and filled by the Spirit. And that is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. Be filled in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
Nachdem das Gericht
so,
über seinem eigenen Volk,
after God finished the judgment on his own people, then God comes to the nations around Israel and Jerusalem, who always try to destroy Jerusalem. And they try to take away the inheritance of the Israelites. They try to steal the inheritance, as we also read in Jeremiah last night. All these neighboring nations, they wanted to touch God's inheritance, take it away and destroy it. In the end, we are the cause. We are the cause. If Israel's relationship to God is right, and they were faithful to God, then who can touch Jerusalem? Who can touch Zion? Who can destroy his house? That's impossible. That's an impossibility. But if we are not in order with God, then unrest and trouble will come. And it depends on God. It depends from head to toe. So we have to learn from this. Only a remnant remains. You cannot expect that many will take this way. So the judgment of Lord of Hosts on the nations. First those surrounding Jerusalem, because they're next to it. And all these nations are close to you, are near to you. They're not so far from you. You have the Spirit within you. In you, you have the life, right? The Lord is in you. You are reborn. Praise the Lord. You have a wonderful Spirit of power, of love, the Spirit of love, and of a sound mind. All this was given to you. Christ, our inheritance, is in us. The hope of glory. But it is surrounded by what? By Stuttgart? Pliningen? Surrounded by the world? For example, what is the world? John tells us. Mercedes, Porsche, the TV, money. What else? Your work. What else? That is our concept. That means for a religious one, the world, not to love the world means that you live somewhere in the Black Forest, hidden away, and you only have birds and cows and foxes. Then you don't love the world anymore. You isolate yourself in a cloister. But what does John say the world is? How does he define the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The pride of life. Your soul life. That is who the nations are. Those are the nations surrounding God's inheritance, and they're always attacking. And if you give them any room, and you give in to them, then God's inheritance will be destroyed. When you begin to say, I am the one who's responsible, I am responsible for this and that, all decisions must go through me. That will destroy God's inheritance, the inheritance of God. When the saints are free to do anything, don't be too narrow. Serving in the house of the Lord, if you serve too much, it's dangerous. You will be like that first son in Luke 15. His problem was that he was too faithful and he just served. And he missed all the parties. That's why in the end, he was jealous. Lord Jesus, how will you react? Amen.
Lord Jesus,
in this time, I can't speak about all the details, but I can talk about the principle, so that if you understand the principle, then that's good enough. And this is important. Everything that we have in the church life in Zion is this wonderful Christ. Everything else is just for our life today. It's for our existence. This is why Paul said in Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain, because they are greedy. Man is greedy. They want to have more and more. And this greed is not for just for outward things, but also for power, recognition, honor, praise of man. Just as the scribes and the elders, they wanted recognition of man. If I don't have any authority in the world, at least I want to have power and authority here. And this power is very dangerous. It will make someone addicted. Yeah. So we can see. We are surrounded with these nations, the fallen flesh. Do you think that only the world plays politics? The church also has a lot of politics. I don't know your church system here in Germany, but what do you think, brother? Is there no politics in religion? Yeah, it's just as bad. Lord Jesus. So at least we have to understand this today, that God will judge all that. That's why Paul also said, after you have learned to obey, then God will judge all disobedience. Because if not, you will be judged with it. God cannot judge the rebellion and disobedience of the world if he doesn't deal with the rebellion here, our rebellion. Otherwise, in the end, I will have to be judged with the world. I think we all have to understand this. That's why judgment must begin with the house of the Lord, but not in a human way, not according to man. But he is the one who judges. And our judgment, when God judges us today, it is healing. It is to make us healthy. It is not according to man's judgment. No. But God's judgment.
Amen.
Amen. Only God's judgment is correct, is righteous. Number one, God's judgment on the nations surrounding Jerusalem, chapters 13 to 23. We're running out of time. We have time till 10:45. Okay, I believe you. It is written here. Let's begin. To help us understand something about Babylon. Babylon is a very important name in the scriptures. Babylon is really important. And I want to take this opportunity to speak more concerning Babylon and have fellowship with you concerning it. Because we don't just see it in those days. In the time of Israel was there Babylon, but in Revelation, there Babylon is written in capital letters. Right? Yes. All the letters are capitalized so that everyone will notice it. Even if your eyes don't see clearly as mine do, I will still notice it. Babylon. The great, not the small one. So here we see the first thing that was mentioned in Isaiah chapter 13 is Babylon. Because Babylon is also the first city that was built after Noah's time. Babel, the Tower of Babel. Do you know the Tower of Babel? But here, I first want to speak about the term Babylon. Babylon, in the scripture, especially in Isaiah, through Isaiah, God spoke about Babylon prophetically, because there was no Babylon as Isaiah was there. The captivity had not begun yet. And this is the nice thing about the prophets. They're talking about Babylon even though it didn't exist. But today Babylon is here and we don't believe it. We're always upside down. At that time, Babylon did not exist yet when Isaiah spoke about it. Can you imagine that? But today, Babylon is before our eyes and we don't believe it. Even we can't speak about it, otherwise we might offend it. It's forbidden to speak about Babylon. Don't speak about Babylon. What have we become? Babylon?
Babylon.
They even empathize with Babylon and are afraid of Babylon, just as the people in those days. And if we also became such a way, then it's not a good sign. Then it's not a good sign for us. So here we can see that Babylon is a place where it's a captivity for the people of God. And the word Babylon itself, it means confusion, mixture, divisions. Everyone goes his own way. No one sees the same thing. Because in those days, they were really one, but now not anymore. Afterwards, they were not. Because they... Unfug. They said it's a little bit dangerous to be oneness. If you keep the wrong oneness, it is dangerous. If this is a human oneness, according to the natural oneness, I have to be one with you and you have to be one with me. Then are you complete? Am I perfect? Are you perfect? Then why would you want to be one with me and I one with you? It would be an imperfect one plus another imperfect one is twice imperfectness. In the end, there will be confusion. And it'll sink deeper and deeper. In the end, we will build a tower with many idols. In the name of oneness. So oneness can be dangerous. Oh, people will say, John is against the oneness. Am I against the oneness? I am against a Babylonian oneness, a human fabricated oneness. I am against the oneness of the Vatican. But I really treasure the true oneness with our living God. In Christ Jesus, to be one with the Father, He dwells in us and we in Him. He abides in us and we in Him. It's the oneness of the Father, of the Son, and the Son with the Father. Apart from this oneness, there is no other oneness. So, I want to warn you in this respect that all those who hear this message want a human, fabricated, natural oneness because of their position. They want position. This will lead to a very dangerous point. And it will lead to division, to confusion. And in the end, we will not be building God's house, even though we think we are it. You're so convinced that you are the house of God, but in the end, it's the Tower of Babel. Do you dare to say that? Christian, would you give such a message? It is not so simple. We need to have a deeper understanding even concerning Babel. That is Babylon. And already from the beginning, Satan already had his eyes on this building, and this principle will remain until the book of Revelation. He will not change his building, but God will also not change his goal and his building of Zion. God will not change it. In the end, in the book of Revelation, there are only two cities that remain. Either you're building Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, or you're building Babylon. There's nothing in between. So we all have to see with all clarity what we are building today. Are we building God's city, the heavenly New Jerusalem? The Lord said, "See, behold, I make all things new." And in Isaiah 43, the prophet says, the Lord says, "Forget the past, the former things. Behold, I will do a new thing." They say, "I don't need anything new. I already saw everything. We just have to warm up the old revelations." It's always upside down. Always upside down. No, we want to forget the former things, not because they were bad, but God is always doing something new. We have to continue going forward. It's not that God discovered something new because we are blind and we didn't see what God wanted. God doesn't need new revelation, but you and I, because our eyes are so short-sighted, we don't see beyond what we see. If I only see the street with my eyes, that doesn't mean that Grünberg only goes to that street. Only to the point of what my eyes can see. Grünberg is much greater than what I can see right now with my eyes. I need new revelation in that I leave this and I leave this and then I can see on further. But if I'm so stubborn and I think that's it, this is it, this is it, even though it's already falling apart and the roof is falling down and the foundation is sinking, yes, this is it, and I'm going to stay in it, my goodness. It's very unfortunate. I'm very sorry about it. We have to go on. We have to see more. Otherwise, you cannot see the song. And, you can't sing that song, that the Word of God has more light for us to see. Otherwise, you can't sing that. That the Word has more light and more truth for us. Didn't we already see everything? More light and truth. The Lord, there are more light and truth in the Word that the Lord has for us. Otherwise, you can't sing that anymore. If you don't believe that God has more light and truth prepared for us in the Word, then you cannot sing that song. Then they will need a new songbook. Lord Jesus. So, Babylon is not very far from you. It's not just Vatican. It would be nice if it was just the Vatican. So here we can see the judgment. Judgment on Babylon. And God already warned through Isaiah. But this judgment on Babylon, we can see by the grace and light of God's grace and light to his people. He already warned them in advance. He warned them in advance.
Und auch schon vorher das Gericht über Babylon.
And he also spoke out and proclaimed the judgment of Babylon in advance, before it happened. This is proof that God really is God. He is all-knowing. He knows everything before things happen. And that is why he could already he already predestined the lamb or before the foundation of the world. Even before the foundation of the world. What a God. We have to recognize and realize this. If you want to know God, you really have to see this. You have to see why He is God. Many people don't believe in the scriptures because they haven't read it and they don't have the eyes. But if we read the Bible, we want to know this God. Then you will see, praise the Lord, everything was prescribed by Him. He will not change things. But He already has a solution. He already knows what will happen when something happens. That's why we have to trust that what happened today, God already knew it before the foundation of the world. That you are meeting here today and not just somewhere else was already predestined or prescribed. Do you believe that? If you see this, then you will have peace, joy, and thankfulness. Forget the former things. Everything. God already saw all things before they happened. We can trust in Him. He foresaw all things. We can trust in Him. That's why we can also see here in Isaiah so clearly. And this is what God emphasized. I am God. Everything that is happening now, I already foresaw. I already said all these things ahead of time so that you know that it is me. It is I who did it. Otherwise you think you did something. And those things that will happen later, I'm also telling you now. So what's happening today, God already knew it beforehand. I didn't know it. You didn't know it. That's why you were all surprised. Were you not surprised? Who was not surprised? But we had no idea that it would occur in such a way. Or did you already have an idea of what would happen? Marcus, did you already know what would happen? No, you're joyful. Hallelujah, I'm in the church. I found the Lord. And then things happened. And we were all confounded. What? Why? Why? But when we see God already foreknew everything, do you think He was excited? Or astonished? If you knew something would happen before it happened, you would not get excited about it or upset by it. Before, I also used to get upset, but now I have a few more gray hairs. Now I'm not upset as quickly, but I'll just say amen, Lord. You know. You know. I can trust Him because I know the scripture already told us that He foreknew everything. He knew the mistakes, why and what and this and that. We have so much to say. But now I have nothing to say. I just say one thing. God already knew everything. That sufficeth for me. I don't need to know it. God already knew it. And that is good enough.
Okay.
Now it's time. Time is up. Let's take a short break. Did you all rest well after your long travels? A few more